The next presentation is biofortified high protein 60-day cowpea varieties for intensive wheat cowpea rice systems in northern India and for multiple cropping in other parts of the world. And the speaker is Bir B. Singh.
Thank you very much. I was cowpea breeder at IITA in Nigeria for almost 27 years, and I retired in 2006. And during this period, we had developed a large number of different diverse types of cowpea varieties. But one of the major accomplishments was to cut down the maturity from 120 to 60 days. So we have 60-day cowpea varieties. And subsequently, we added disease and pest resistance. And recently, when the biofortification project came, we got some funds and increased the protein, iron, and zinc. So when I retired, I thought some of these new varieties should find a way in crop intensification throughout the world. And the best place was to start in India, where majority of the people are vegetarian, and the pulses production has remained stagnant since 1950. Pulses prices were high. So I thought, and I worked in one of my parent universities in northern India, so I arranged with the vice chancellor to be a visiting professor there. And also, southern U.S. grows a lot of cowpea, so one of my colleagues in Texas A&M encouraged me to have a presence there also and see if we can grow some of these varieties and encourage more cowpea cultivation in Texas particularly and part of southern Africa. So that's how I have a 9 months visiting professor in Texas A&M and 3 months in India in the summer, and I'll be talking about this. My colleagues are from India mainly because most of the work is there, and I'll just go through this. So in India, bulk of the population is vegetarian, and from 1947 when India became independent, the pulses production has remained constant for 12 to 14 million tons, and population has become three times, 400 million has become now 1.2 billion. And so the production, the availability of pulses is very low. And in the whole of northern India, about 10 million hectares, wheat and rice system is grown. Farmers grow rice and wheat together. But in summer, when wheat is harvested, about 2.5 months period is vacant. And this is all irrigated, high-input agriculture. So we thought that maybe if we can have a heat-tolerant, photo-insensitive cowpea variety. So that is where we brought this. And I'll quickly go through this. So 80-90 days period is there. And other legumes, India grows all kinds of legumes, pigeon pea, chickpea, lentils, beans, and others. Most of these are 90 to 120 days maturity. Pigeon pea is up to 6 months maturity. So these don't fit into a niche crop. And most of the good land has been taken by wheat and rice. The Green Revolution has a major effect in Indian food production. So all the good land has gone to wheat and rice. So any legume that is more than 80, 90 days has to compete with cereals for land, and that is not possible. So only a 60-day, we have mung bean and cowpea. These are the two candidates which we are trying to put there. Mung bean yield potential is almost half of the cowpea. So that's where we brought the cowpea trials. So this is the situation. From November to March, end of March, wheat is planted, and then end of June, July, the rice comes, and in between we have this about 85, 90 days window, where many farmers now grow a few here and there, but not much, but bulk of it remains vacant. And farmers have all the facilities, irrigation and so on, so that is where we try to introduce it. This is just a few slides from Nigeria, IITA, so the traditional varieties are crawling type, and by crossing breeding we have got 60-day erect type. And these are 75, 80, so fit into different, but I will be focusing on this type of variety. So this is one of the 60-day grain type cowpea variety that you really harvest in 60 days. Gives almost 2 tons in 60 days. So per day productivity is almost like wheat and rice. And during this biofortification project, we have got some varieties which are 60-day maturity up to 27-31% protein, iron, and zinc. So we thought, let's try some of these varieties already directly from Nigeria and test in India and see how they will do. So So in the background is the Himalayas. The university is very close to the foothills of Himalayas. And this is one of the varieties. This is the other one, the high protein, high iron and zinc. And we were so lucky that varieties developed in Nigeria were doing very well. And actually they matured in 55 days, not 60, even though the day length is higher. And so we quickly started testing it, particularly at the Pantnagar University. And you can see the plant type and maturity is almost the same. And I will just quickly go through this slide. So we had we introduced about 40, 50 varieties, and out of those we filtered out five. And the yield potential here, you can see, is about 1.5 tons in 60 days. And these are some yield at different locations. So overall, we had some varieties which had about 1.5 tons yield. And then we quickly went on-farm, on the hills, in the plains, and showed that these were much better than the local pulses. In the hills, they have some early maturing pulses. They die here. They were drying, the disease resistant, but some of the 60-day cowpea were very good. And then quickly, India grows all pulses, but cowpea production is not as much. So we have to see what uses it can have beyond just eating as a dal or something. So our food scientist, she is here, the professor of food science, assistant professor of food science, and then they started developing recipes. Then we got women to train on how to use this. And two varieties have been released in India, in northern India. This is, we call Panth, is the university name. Lobia is cowpea. And one, this is the IITA number. And this is the other one. This is a red-seeded, 31% protein, 70 ppm iron and zinc. This is 28% protein, also fairly high. So we were so lucky that these varieties bred in Nigeria were doing very well. So these have been formally released and they're being adopted by the farmer. We faced only one problem of yellow mosaic, and these two varieties are resistant to this. And no other disease problem in the summer. We are growing in the summer during hot weather. So this is just to show you that these two varieties that have been released, the protein content still remains the same in India, and food quality and others that tested was very, very acceptable. This is a wheat crop. You combine it. We develop a zero-till cultivation to cut down the time on land preparation. So you harvest with a machine harvest, and then you irrigate and directly seed with a zero-till planter, and then you have a cowpea crop here. And this is densely planted. We take a wheat planter, block one of the rows, so it's 45 centimeter row to row, and it gives you a very good crop. So this has come out to be a successful experiment, and some of the farmers are growing it in fairly good amount of land. Other possibilities in India using 60-day cowpea to intensify is wheat-rice system in North India, but rice-rice system in central and southern India, sugarcane intercropping, potato intercropping, cotton. So these are multiple cropping where we are testing these. Now, pulses are different colors in India, green, red, brown, and so on. So we thought if we have to replace pulses with cowpea, we should have all these colors. And so we have now cowpea varieties. At Pantnagar, it has been almost like 4 or 5 years. By crossing and selection, we have all the colors in other pulses in cowpea now. So farmers, if you want a black cowpea, or black cowpea, red cowpea, and so on. And their yield we have tested. They are all about 1.5 tons in a grain yield. And in terms of acceptability, the yield levels and everything is more or less same. Now coming to Africa, some of the 60-day cowpeas are getting into the cropping systems, and we introduce a strip cropping. In mostly cowpeas are grown as intercrop, 1:1, but cowpea is shaded. So we develop intercropping, strip cropping, where you have 2 rows of sorghum, 4 rows of cowpea. If you have a small amount of fertilizer, let it go on the sorghum and spray cowpea for insecticide. And this is 300-400% more than what farmers get. So this is a traditional system, and this is our improved system, which was funded by USAID and Gatsby Foundation, and it is almost like a revolution. In 1990, when we started this project, Nigeria was producing 1 million ton. Now it is 3 million ton just within a few years. So there has been a tremendous increase in production. Some of these farmers who are adopting this technology are very happy. We brought Hausa Muslim women from houses to grow cowpea, and they keep goat, they feed the residue to goat, and the cowpea grain meal they prepare and generate income out of this. So then Brazil is one of the, northeast Brazil is a traditional cowpea growing area. Many of the African migrants were there. But now they grow a lot of soybean in the Cerrado, in the savanna area, which is here. And they found that after harvesting soybean, there is enough moisture for a 60-day cowpea. And that is now catching like fire. In the last 5 years, they have added 150,000 hectares of cowpea in Cerrado, not northeast Brazil, but in the Cerrado. And we are hoping that in the next 10, 15 years, Brazil will be producing. Also, the new cleared area, they go with cowpea, zero-till cowpea, and it is moving like fire. So, and they have developed the commercial planting, machine planting of this. So this is planted in the soybean field. Soybean have been just mowed, and they are planting cowpea. It germinates. You can see the residue of soybean in the field, and this is the crop that comes out in 60 days. They combine, and they are almost exporting cowpea to India. Already some of them are doing it. Close to home in Texas A&M, cowpea is a good food, and every New Year's Eve, New Year's, they eat cowpea for good luck during the year. So Texas has been growing it. So we thought that we'll try to do something here. So there is a possibility. Texas map is very close to Nigeria. High rainfall here and very low rainfall here. It's like upside down of Nigeria. And most of the cowpea right now is grown here. But we feel that cowpea, 60-day cowpea with very little moisture, it can be grown all over. Texas used to grow 1 million acre of cowpea in 30s. But over time, it has gone down, and we want to revive it back. And following a double cropping between wheat and cowpea, or maize and cowpea, is possible. So we introduce these cowpea. In the dry area, aphid and drought, both are problem when we have low rainfall. So we brought the aphid-resistant lines from Nigeria, and they are holding aphid resistance in Texas also, and the drought-tolerant genes also are holding. So we've combined the aphid resistant and drought tolerant with the 60-day cowpea varieties, and we have different varieties that have come out, and we are testing now. We have F5, F6 lines. Hopefully in the next 2-3 years we'll be releasing. Now for the global, I am very happy that we have the 60-day cowpea. Globally, all the other legumes are late maturing, 90-120 days. And if you look at their production, beans and so on, up to 2001, the production here. And if you look at the total increase in production from 2001 to from 61 to 2009, then this is the increase. Now, cowpea has been the highest increase compared to other pulses. But in the last 10 years, more or less all the pulses are stagnant except for cowpea. That's 73% increase in the last 10 years. Why others are stagnant? Because there is no land. Everywhere the rice and wheat and cereals have taken the land. So my prediction is they will remain where they are, but cowpea will pick up and become several 100% around the world by crop intensification. And anyone of you who is interested in cropping system, I encourage you to write to us. We'll give you the seed and try. Where two crops grow, you can grow three crops. Where one crop grow, you can get two crops. And cowpea fixes all its nitrogen from the air. It actually leaves 30-40 kilograms, and it breaks the cereal cycles. So it's good for everything. The biomass, the fodder, after you take 2 tons or 1.5 tons of cowpea grain, the biomass has 17-18% protein. You feed it to livestock. We have done some experiment. It doubles the yield gain compared to others. So it's all win-win situation. And I hope that this will move further as we go along. And these are some my slides. Brazil recently honored me with an award in this year in April. This is a slide from Brazil. They are growing 4 or 5 of my varieties in there. This is from India, from Africa, and from U.S. So we hope that in next 10 years, these 60-day cowpeas will be in all over the globe. Thank you very much for this.
Drought-tolerant How much water we require during the growing season?
Okay, we didn't do this kind of control experiment, but we have a box screening where you bring the cowpeas and you don't irrigate. About 200 millimeter rainfall. In Nigeria, we had a year where total rainfall was 169 millimeter during that growth period. But we planted with a heavy rain, and after that, there was very little rain. So if you have a heavy rain at the time of planting, or you irrigate, then it doesn't take much water after that. So between 170 to 200 millimeter rainfall is all you need. And the short duration is an advantage because then you don't have to irrigate for too long. Cowpea is mainly a tropical crop, but Texas A&M is more than 30 degrees north. In India we are 29, here it's about 32 or 33. And temperature this year in summer for 3 months was above 100 degrees Fahrenheit. And we have cowpea varieties that are so heat tolerant, drought tolerant. So up to subtropics, up to the edge of subtropic to tropic, it can be accommodated. I was recently in China at the invitation of Hebei Academic Sciences, and they are growing maize and wheat, you know, as a rotation. And in some places there is not enough irrigation, so they are planning to introduce. I gave them all the seeds, and hopefully, I hope that China will run with it and have a double cropping.
So it's not good for temperate.
No, in temperate, we have done some trial in the Midwest of U.S. where you harvest wheat, and for 2-3 months, you know, from June to September, there is 2 months with slightly higher temperature. The maximum 30 is what you need at a higher land, and the lower will be 22. So if the temperature is between 22 to 30, and 60 days, you get a crop. So many of them are trying because there is not enough rainfall for soybean. So they are trying to get it, and as we have more seeds of these new varieties, I'm sure that even in Canada, in southern Canada, for 2 months you can get between 30 and 22 degrees Celsius, and you can grow a crop. So I'm hoping that legume and the next 2 billion people that will be added in 40 years, most of them don't eat meat. It will be India and Africa, and legumes would be needed. And all the other legumes are stagnant. Only cowpea is one that will come out. So I'm very hopeful that as the pressure of population and need for pulses grow, these will be coming up. So I hope that this happens. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't show any slide, but yeah, that is one intervention that we have done, and it is also moving very fast. And we don't call it intercropping because it's a parallel intercropping. You get two crops because the first 2 months, cassava grows very slowly, and you bring a row of cowpea in between, and it actually helps the cassava because the residue cassava uses later on as a fertility, and you have a crop. So it is coming up very well. Yeah. Thank you for bringing this up.
Yes.
Yeah, very, very good question. So the biomass, these 60-day erect type cowpea varieties have about 50% harvest index. So when you're talking about 1.52 tons of grain, we have 1.52 tons of biomass. And I'm encouraging people to bring that out, cut that biomass and feed to the livestock and return the manure to the field. And the residue roots and little leaf fallen are adding 30 to 40 kilograms of nitrogen. The humid zone, during this 27 years, when I joined IIT, the varieties were susceptible to all the diseases and all the insects. New varieties have resistance to 12 major diseases, including all the viruses, and we have resistance to aphid, brookids, and thrips. Only problem was Maruca pod borer in the high rainfall area. And we requested USAID and Monsanto to help. So Monsanto has donated the BT gene, and we requested T.J. Higgins of Australia. He has put the gene, and Bt cowpea is being tested in Nigeria. We are hoping that in 4 or 5 years we will have Bt cowpea and no Maruca problem, and that will have a surge of cowpea production in Africa. So we will be in a very good shape in 4 or 5 years with these cowpea varieties. Thank you for raising that question.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.